Iran says a decision by a European satellite operator, Eutelsat, to take Press TV off the air reveals the true colours of false advocates of freedom of expression. Britain's RMT trade union says planned strikes by thousands of railway workers will go ahead as scheduled after talks over a pay rise fail. Also ahead, the Peruvian president is removed from his post after trying to dissolve the Congress. The vice president is sworn in as interim president. Thank you for joining us. Our top story, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman strongly condemns a decision by European satellite operator Eutelsat to take English language news channel Press TV off the air. Nasser Kanani said the move further reveals the true colours of false advocates of freedom of expression and the free flow of information. He added that while Europe hosts TV channels that foment violence and terrorism in Iran, it removes Press TV from Eutelsat over the European Union's sanctions against the channel. His remarks came after Eutelsat warned Press TV that it will take the broadcaster off the air. Press TV has strongly condemned Eutelsat's decision, criticizing the EU for being behind the move.
This is the same Europe which is openly hosting numerous broadcasters that are hostile to the Islamic Republic of Iran and is turning a blind eye to hate mongering and dissemination of fake news against Iran. The European Union is aware that Press TV reflects the real image of the continent to both the bloc and the world, and that the channel fights against attempts to paint a dark picture of Iran.
Press TV says the move is part of the West's continuous attempts to silence the voice of the Iranian people. It also criticized the West's double standards when it comes to freedom of speech. Nonetheless, Press TV says it will continue to do its utmost in order to remain the voice of the voiceless. This is not the first time that Western governments have tried to block the Iranian news networks. The channel's website, YouTube account, and other social media platforms have been targeted several times before.
It's just another attempt to mute the voice of the voiceless. Press TV managers were not surprised by Eutelsat's decision to stop broadcasting the news outlet, as they say this is not the first time Press TV is being banned in the West.
Well, this gesture by the West is not anything new in terms of Press TV and even some of its, sister channels. So it puts under the microscope the real intention behind this. So the way this appears to be is that it's part of a bigger picture of this maximum pressure campaign that's been exerted on Iran. I am sure there's some geopolitical interest involved in terms of trying to limit Iran's reach when it comes to the media. But in particular, obviously, another reason for this act by the West, which is really against the pillars that they actually advocate, which is freedom of speech.
Eutelsat is a French satellite operator providing coverage over the entire European continent, the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and the Americas. It is the world's third largest satellite operator in terms of revenues. In mid-November, the European Union imposed sanctions on Press TV over claims that the news network airs forced confessions of detainees in connection with the recent unrest in Iran.
I've been working here at Press TV for almost a decade now, and I can tell you that Press TV has not aired any confessions whatsoever, forced or unforced. So that shows you how such decisions by the EU and the like are based on unfounded claims with no basis in reality. And these sanctions on Press TV I see as part of the media war and their narrative control. They want to present the war with their distorted version of what's going on in Iran these days, and seemingly they don't feel much comfortable with Press TV challenging their narrative. So they would try everything to silence us or make us less heard, but we're not going to be silenced.
In 2013, Press TV was brought off the air in the UK after media regulator Ofcom revoked its license over alleged breaching of its rules. In the same year, it was taken off the air in North America after the U.S. Treasury Department placed sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. Press TV was also dropped from the Galaxy 19 satellite platform that allowed it to be broadcast in the United States and Canada. Press TV has also repeatedly fallen victim to censorship on multiple social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
It's not the first time, and perhaps not the last time, that the West has attempted to pull the plug on Press TV. However, the news network says it will continue its professional journalism based on its motto of being a voice for the voiceless. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Elsewhere, the leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement has slammed some Arab governments for normalizing ties with the Israeli regime, saying it will lead to more divisions among Muslims. Abdul Malik al-Houthi said the Israeli regime and the U.S. are conspiring to sow seeds of discord among Muslims from Yemen to Palestine to Iraq. He also touched on the Saudi-led war on his country, saying Riyadh and its allies want Yemen to be under foreign occupation. He said they seek to enslave Yemen and plunder its natural wealth. He, however, vowed that the Yemeni people would make futile any plot to put their country under Western hegemony. He stressed the Yemeni people's firm resolve to stay united and work to achieve independence. Elsewhere, Britain's RMT trade union says planned strikes by tens of thousands of railway workers will go ahead as scheduled later this month. The RMT said the decision was made after it was informed that no new pay offer would be made by the operators. On Sunday, the union said it had rejected a pay rise offer of 4% in 2022 and 2023 from train operators. The offer was aimed at heading off the industrial action. The Rail Delivery Group, which represents train operators, said there would be no revised offer. More than 40,000 railway workers are due to walk out in late December and early January in a long-running dispute over pay. Britain has been witnessing a series of walkouts across different sectors during the past months. The government is now considering using the military's help to fill in for striking workers ahead of key walkouts by nurses and ambulance staff. Germany has arrested 25 individuals in connection with an alleged coup plot in the country. The detainees are members of a far-right extremist group. According to the Federal Prosecutor's Office, the suspects were preparing to violently force their way into parliament. The office said they were armed and planned to overthrow the government using support from, quote, a Russian-backed terrorist organization. The Kremlin, however, has roundly rejected any involvement in the plot, saying there can be no question of any Russian interference. Meanwhile, the German Defense Ministry said the country's military has a zero-tolerance policy toward extremism and remains vigilant to such threats. The suspects were arrested during large-scale raids across 11 German states on Wednesday. Earlier, journalist Alina Lipp joined us to give us her perspective on the raids on a far-right group. She believes the operations were staged and the government will probably announce changes into law in order to target opponents and restrict freedom of speech.
I think there are a lot of Germans who don't appreciate the current politics in Germany because the sanctions against Russia, they distract the whole country, actually. And the people start to understand that. But still, I think that this, what was happening today, this was mainly a media show because they were writing everywhere that this was a secret mission, but actually they took journalists with themselves who directly posted the videos and so on, how they arrested people. And news were appearing already 1 hour after the mission started, so the articles were written before the mission started. And this is just obvious. And Germany are now prosecuting everybody practically who is publicly criticizing the government or is publicly speaking out for friendship with Russia and so on. So they probably will announce in the next days changes of laws and so on. So I think this is a planned story to attack freedom of speech and to get rid of the opposition in Germany.
Turning elsewhere, Peru's Vice President Dina Boluarte has been sworn in as interim president after Congress voted overwhelmingly to oust President Pedro Castillo. In an address to Congress, Boluarte said she will hold the post in accordance with the country's constitution until July 2026. That's when Castillo's term would have ended. The swearing-in ceremony came after Congress impeached Castillo with 101 votes in favor. The move was taken after Castillo declared a state of emergency, saying the country will be governed by decree law until the new Congress convenes. The announcement sparked resignations by key ministers, and now the opposition accused the president of orchestrating a coup and corruption. Castillo was detained by security forces shortly after his removal. The United States has welcomed the removal of the leftist leader, calling him former president. In the United States, the Democratic Party has won a runoff vote for the final Senate seat, giving it a slim 51-49 majority. However, with Republicans winning the House of Representatives last month, Congress will be divided for the next 2 years, and many expect bitter bipartisan divides will now become even worse. Ramin Mazahari has more from Chicago.
A month after going to the polls, the results of the United States midterms are finally known. The Democratic Party has narrowly won a runoff vote in the state of Georgia, meaning they will retain control of the upper house of Congress, but with a mere 51-49 edge over Republicans.
They've come up with things that are going to help a larger block of people. Conversely, the Republicans are just pushing back and creating exclusionary, not even policy, but just exclusionary commentary. So Republicans are going to make all these crazy claims. And I'm not being partisan, I'm just saying that's what they said they're going to do.
However, over the past 2 years, a small faction of right-leaning Democrats was enough to consistently torpedo the legislation of President Joe Biden. Celebrations are further tempered by the fact that Republicans won control of the lower House of Representatives, meaning Congress is now divided.
A divided Congress means that the United States is facing 2 years of political gridlock, with each party voting down the other's legislation, and then capped by an extremely tense presidential election in 2024.
Just like in the years 2000, 2004, 2016, and 2020, there have been widespread complaints about the integrity of the nation's elections. Much of the Democrats' loss can be traced to disillusionment and disinterest from African American and youth voters, whose turnout dropped to an estimated 35% and 27%, respectively.
I would say I'm not hearing too much about it. I'm 19, so I might be part of it. My friends probably aren't just talking about it very much. I think they're probably just too distracted, and they maybe think it doesn't affect them enough for it to matter to them. However, it certainly should, because it can affect them maybe later in life.
Many are now lamenting that the Democrats didn't do enough to win over the average voter during the 2 years they controlled both the White House and Congress, as they remained focused on the era of ex-President Donald Trump instead. Now that they have the subpoena power, Republicans are looking for payback, meaning an even worse era of partisanship will likely be inaugurated on January 3rd. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
As battle rages around the northern Donbass town of Bakhmut, both sides are launching strikes on other cities, while Russia targets energy infrastructure. Our correspondent reports on the Ukrainian targeting of civilians in Donetsk.
Kubashevsky District, Donetsk. A child is wounded by Ukrainian shelling. An ambulance took her to the hospital. But a second didn't arrive fast enough, so a local volunteer, Andrei, puts the child's mother in the back of his van and drives her there himself. Ukraine has a history of shelling civilians in Donetsk since 2014. Over recent days, they've increased the slaughter. More than a dozen have been killed in the last 4 days. Nowhere in the city is safe. 2 supermarkets were hit in the space of 2 days.
The city has been hit hard today. Multiple strikes around the center. The death toll is already up to 5. We're racing around the city to check out the damage.
We pass a market. It caught on fire due to a strike. Flowers are placed outside for a woman killed at the same spot a few weeks ago. This is the central cathedral of Donetsk. Many will be outraged, but at least it didn't kill. A few minutes later, we arrive at the site of another strike. There's a body on the ground, and 2 more inside.
Now, while many of the attacks by Ukraine and Donetsk are aimed at civil infrastructure, administration buildings, some are simple terror attacks against civilians. Now, I've tried to talk to a couple of people at the scene here, but they didn't want to. They're simply too traumatized to speak. One man breaking down in tears by the side of the road. In fact, my fixer, my translator, is very keen for us to get out of here because at any moment, these strikes can happen again. Right across the city, they've been happening today. And no doubt there'll be more anytime soon.
Andrei, the volunteer who took the mother to the hospital in Kubayevsky.
They shell the center of Donetsk on purpose, to scare people, to create an unstable zone in the city, so that people will complain, to provoke. To me, they're not warriors who fight with other warriors. They fight civilians. So I think they do not deserve to be called military. They should be classified as war criminals by a military court.
While Russia launches major attacks on energy infrastructure, in a shockingly underreported story, Ukraine is launching attacks on civilians, whom it claims to be its own citizens. Few people are on the streets today, as more strikes are expected. Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
That brings an end to our World Bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
The Western regime's double standard on human rights is not surprising. While the British regime condemns the situation of human rights in other countries, it has recently given new powers to the police to crack down people's protests and strikes. Actually, the leaders of Western regimes are now presenting their desired definition of rioting and protesting after classifying terrorism into good and bad ones. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Tasnim News Agency noted the British government is looking at bringing in the military to help keep public services running if key workers, including in the state-run National Health Service, take a strike action. The chairman of the governing Conservative Party has warned recently. Britain is already grappling with industrial action in a range of sectors, but now faces strikes by thousands of nurses in England and ambulance workers in England and Wales who plan to walk out later this month over pay and conditions, Reuters reported. The government has repeatedly called on workers to halt the strike action, saying it could not afford pay rises to cover inflation and that, even if it could meet their demands, such increases would further fuel inflation. Our message to the unions is to say, this is not a time to strike, this is a time to try and negotiate. But in the absence of that, it is important for the government to have contingency plans in place, Nadim Zahabi told Sky News. We're looking at the military, we're looking at a specialist response force, a surge capacity, he said, adding that the military could be brought in to drive ambulances. Alex Baldock, chief executive of British electricals retailer Currys, said his company would not use Royal Mail for now to reduce any strike impact. Workers at post and parcel company Royal Mail have held several rounds of strikes this year in a dispute over pay and working conditions, and more strikes are planned this month. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, in power for just over a month, faces a raft of problems, including what could prove to be a lengthy recession in the run-up to an election that opinion polls suggest the Conservatives will lose. The Sunday Times of London newspaper reported that Sunak could revive plans to curb the right to strike for public sector workers, including NHS staff, teachers and firefighters, while the Sunday Telegraph said pharmacists could be drafted in to help patients if health workers strike later this month. The main opposition Labour Party called on the government to negotiate with public sector workers, with Bridget Phillipson, Labour Education Policy Chief, saying teachers were right to argue for a better deal in terms of pay. Also, teachers across Scotland have carried out a strike action for the first time in almost 40 years after talks on a pay deal broke down, and hundreds of thousands of teachers and education staff in England and Wales are voting on whether to strike in a dispute over pay and funding. Zahabi again blamed the Russia-Ukraine conflict for fueling energy price rises and inflation, calling on public sector workers to come together, he said. There is a minimum safety level of delivery in place already, but the NHS will look at all contingency planning. Tehran Times wrote in this regard, facing a new possible cost of living protest, the UK government is looking at a set of controversial suppressive measures ranging from army deployment to unleashing the powers of law enforcement forces. Nadim Zahabi, the chairman of the governing Conservative Party, has said that the UK government is considering deploying the army to help ease possible strike disruption over Christmas. Zahabi told Sky News' Sophie Rich recently that military personnel could be driving ambulances and working on UK borders under the proposals. The government has said that military personnel, civil servants and volunteers are being trained to support a range of services, including border force at airports and ports, amid fears of Christmas chaos. The new measure comes at a time when the UK is grappling with recession and the cost of living crisis. Tens of thousands in various sectors are expected to take a strike action to demand improvement of living standards at a time when number 10 is believing that now is not the time to go on strikes. Zahabi told Sky News that this is not a time to strike. If you chase inflation or above inflation, in some cases pay, then you will embed inflation for longer and hurt the most vulnerable, he said, adding, in fact, our message to the unions is to say, you know, this is not a time to strike, this is time to try and negotiate. The British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak took a tougher stance, describing protesters as a selfish minority that breaks the law and that should be dealt with decisively. My view is that those who break the law should feel the full force of it, he said. Speaking after the meeting at Number 10, he said the police had his support, according to British media. The Prime Minister said the police were already being given new powers to clamp down on illegal protests and would have his full support in acting decisively to end the misery and disruption caused to ordinary families. He said, I have said to them, the police, whatever they need from government, they will have in terms of new powers. We are already giving them some, and I want to back them to use them. Recently, Nasser Kanani, the spokesperson for the Iranian Foreign Ministry, lambasted the West for its double standards on human rights. Commenting on the UK government's decision to give new powers to the UK police, Kanani quipped on Twitter saying, the people's protests in England, Germany, France, Canada and Australia are bad and deserve to be dealt with decisively, but riots in their targeted countries are good and deserve support. He added, the leaders of these regimes are now presenting their desired definition of rioting and protesting after classifying terrorism into good and bad ones. He also used a famous Persian proverb that reads, death is good, but only if it happens to the neighbor. It refers to a situation where people rejoice at something bad that happens to others.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Today, on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us present you an excellent statement on social justice by this most noble lady. Completion of weights and measures is a cause for preventing the neglect of others' rights.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the role of knowledge in the development of a man. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone, you're listening to A to Z program from the RB English Radio. I'm your host, Hossein Hinzano. Now, in today's lesson, we are talking about the role of knowledge in the development of a man. One of the main points that drive a man to be developed in life is by him acquiring knowledge. And as we know, knowledge that's acquired, the true knowledge that makes a man become developed in life, the true knowledge that brings progress in a man's life, in this world and in the hereafter, is that knowledge that is the one which brings that particular man closer to his creator, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the following might be set forth. Even though pragmatism regards validity based on usefulness in earthly life and cannot be approved as such, a pragmatic inclination towards genuineness of work for life in the hereafter is acceptable. Consequently, performing deeds useful for life in the hereafter has relative validity, but knowledge and science and art are deprived of even this relative validity. We'll talk more about this in a few minutes. Please stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano, and we are talking about a very important issue here. We're talking about the role of knowledge in the progress of a man. The role of knowledge in the development of a man. We just say that knowledge serves as a very good basis for a man's development in life, in this world and in the hereafter. And the best knowledge is the one which drives him closer to his creator. It must, however, be borne in mind that man's prosperity is rooted in the heart and not in the body organs and limbs and the means. The heart has the principal role in moving towards qurba with Allah, in moving closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, relative validity belongs to the activities of the heart, and external deeds become valid in the light of them and not the vice versa. Now, in the same way, that knowledge or the science could become valid as a prelude to decent deeds. It could play a more important role as a prelude to belief, which is prior to action and its basis. Definitely, what we're trying to say here is that a man will need this knowledge in order to go forward. And not just knowledge, he will need the knowledge that will bring in himself, that will build his heart towards wanting to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that way, he will have earned himself a knowledge that will bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you so much for following up on this show. Thank you so much for being with us in this episode. Until next episode, inshallah, we're hoping we'll be together again. Fi amanillah, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Prophets.
On June 22, 2021, the U.S. government took down a range of Iranian news websites, the most prominent among them, Press TV, the country's 24-hour news channel in English. Press TV's users were faced with this message. The domain PressTV.com has been seized by the United States government in accordance with a seizure warrant pursuant.
Everything Press TV do.
The channel was launched in 2007 with the motto of the Voice of the Voiceless. Since the very beginning, the news channel has always tried to shed light on major regional and global issues from perspectives either ignored or distorted by the mainstream media. Over the past years, the channel has repeatedly been subject to censorship on multiple platforms, including Twitter and Instagram, besides Google and its services. For example, it was in mid-January 2020 that tech giant Google permanently removed Press TV UK's YouTube channel. The channel had over 28,000 subscribers on its YouTube account at the time of its deletion.
All the Western propaganda about media freedom, freedom of speech, and so on really is. The truth is they want their overweening narrative to completely dominate the public discourse so that decisions made about Iran, war and peace, sanctions, not sanctions, the nuclear deal or not, they want those decisions to be made with an uninformed public.
A few years earlier, in 2013, Press TV was forced off the air in the UK after media regulator Ofcom revoked its license for allegedly breaching the Communications Act. Shortly after, the channel was also taken off air in North America.
I don't obviously agree with everything Press TV do, but what they do do is they provide a means for dialogue and discussion and understanding of the Middle East, particularly, and not only the Middle East, but many other world issues. Now, this vital conduit of news and information is being closed off by the British government, who are blaming it all on Ofcom. The British government won't take any responsibility for this outrageous, tyrannical act.
In fact, Press TV has had a long history of poor treatment at the hands of the US state. In just one case back in January 2019, the FBI illegally detained Press TV anchor Marzia Hashemi for 10 days on her visit to the United States.
Situation in the United States that individuals can be detained, arrested without charge.
I was treated in many cases worse than a common criminal, as if I was a mass murderer.
I was kidnapped. Kidnapping, transferring, shackling, imprisoning, taking off my hijab, and so many other things. They can call it legal, but we know that it is not legal. Why is it that in the jails here, that 98.5, if not more, of the people I saw were Black Americans? Why?
While it's become an everyday challenge for Press TV to deal with problems caused directly or indirectly by the U.S. government on flimsy pretexts, a number of channels such as BBC Persian and Iran International, which seek subversive agendas inside Iran via spreading misinformation, are all immune to Washington's whims. A minor case of hypocrisy by the self-proclaimed champion of freedom of expression.
Any of these countries like China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, they are demonized and their media outlets are portrayed as foreign agents, which is quite incredible. And we've seen incredible hypocrisy in the sense that not only does the U.S. government falsely dub these fact-oriented, totally fact-based media outlets as supposed foreign agents, but even on social media, which is ostensibly independent from the U.S. government, but really we know that many of these big tech corporations in Silicon Valley are U.S. government contractors that closely follow the U.S. government line. They have also been labeling foreign government-backed media outlets like RT, like CGTN, like Press TV, labeling them as controlled by the Russian government, as Google says, and Google owns YouTube. And we've also seen Twitter do the same thing, and Facebook.
The fact is, Press TV's independent journalism to set distorted narratives right across the region and the world has made the channel a strong alternative voice for the oppressed people. And that's not what the Americans can put up with.
In the Western media and the West-controlled media, you know, or the what they call the mainstream media, they portray a particular thing, a particular, you know, international problem in a particular this frame. And Iranian, the Press TV is challenging that. Probably they are providing an alternative thought. So naturally, this is a competition. So in that competition, Press TV is now facing the heat.
Case most notorious prisons.
By way of comparison, what they have done to Press TV is a larger scale operation of what they have done to the founder of WikiLeaks and other whistleblowers across the world. Muting alternative voices at any cost. American scholar Richard Falk believes that by shutting down Press TV, the U.S. is attempting to deprive Iran of its capacity to challenge hostile propaganda and put forth its own counter-narrative of controversial events, and more generally of peace, justice, and democratic governance.
We go behind headlines, beyond news, and into the heart of debates.
Stay with us.
Because what concerns you
concerns us.
Take another look.
See what is unseen elsewhere.
We search.
We explore.
We discover.
To bring you nothing but authentic news.
To bring you stories that the mainstream media won't tell you.
Say whatever is on your mind.
Your voice will not go unheard here.
When Press TV was established with the motto of News Anew, the aim was to present alternative news to its audiences, the kind of topics and stories that some Western governments do not want people to know about. In late 2021, Press TV was honored to receive an award from Yemen's Prime Minister Abdulaziz bin Habtour for its prominent role in standing by the Yemeni people and exposing the crimes of the U.S., Saudi, Emirati-led aggression since the beginning of the war. That's why Yemen is rarely being mentioned by the mainstream media. And when mentioned, it's usually through distorted lenses. As a media at the service of the resistance movement, Press TV has been always lauded by freedom-seeking nations. Following a visit to Press TV on April 7, 2022, Cuban Ambassador to Tehran, Alberto González Casals, tweeted, "Today I met the Vice President and Director of the prestigious Press TV and Hispan TV networks. I thank both of them for their active participation in the media marathon against the U.S. blockade, an extensive program of bilateral cooperation awaits us. Press TV invests full-heartedly in efforts to find out the truth, no matter what that would cost. Trying to reach that goal in some of the world's most volatile conflict zones, Press TV personnel Maya Nasser, Sayed Farhad Taghaddousi, Habibullah Hussein Zada, and Serena Shim made the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives to reveal what is withheld from a global audience. Despite all the problems and sanctions caused and imposed by the West, Press TV will pursue its mission of being the voice of the voiceless with full force. The channel has just turned 15, and this is just the beginning. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., conservatives within the Republican Party are digging in against Kevin McCarthy before the conclusion of a closed-door fight over consolidating the House GOP leader's power. As House Republicans keep debating the rules for next year's majority, the Freedom Caucus, home to several members seeking to derail Kevin McCarthy's speakership bid, is pushing for institutional changes that they argue will restore power to rank-and-file members. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Washington Post has more for us. Would-be House Speaker Kevin McCarthy appeared on Monday on Newsmax, and rather strikingly, he floated a scenario for the upcoming vote to lead the House. If we play games on the floor, the Democrats could end up picking who the Speaker is. Kevin McCarthy's allies have referenced this worst-case scenario before. The idea is that if McCarthy can't get the votes and there isn't a ready alternative, moderate Republicans could band together with Democrats to fill the void. It's a rather fanciful hypothetical meant to persuade the caucus to unite behind McCarthy. But the fact that McCarthy felt the need to lodge this warning shot would seem to say plenty about how imperiled he views his ascent as being. And there was more in that vein on Tuesday night from McCarthy. And it doesn't come out of nowhere. McCarthy was passed over once before for House Speaker back in 2015 amid a revolt from the party's right wing. And so far, at least five House Republicans have signalled they're opposing Kevin McCarthy for Speaker. Given the GOP is likely to have a 222 to 213 majority, that means McCarthy could just be shy of the majority of votes he needs on 3rd of January to become Speaker. There are many variables here, including how these members might register their discontent. If they don't vote for an alternative, if they vote present, for instance, their protest votes will effectively only count half as much. A candidate doesn't need 218 votes, but rather a majority of those casting a ballot for an actual candidate. The death of Representative Donald McEachin, a Democrat from Virginia, on Monday doesn't immediately change McCarthy's math. But other members are absent or vote present, the threshold would also be lowered. But for now, it's worth drilling down on just how firm McCarthy's opponents are and what their beefs are, given the manoeuvring ahead. As things stand, we count five Republicans as indicating they're against Kevin McCarthy, including two who have indicated they won't vote present. If five of these names are truly committed to actually voting against Kevin McCarthy and all Democrats cast their ballots, they could kill McCarthy's shot at becoming Speaker of the House once again. Website Salon.com has also covered the same story. Representative Andy Biggs, a Republican from Arizona who ran against House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, for the GOP House Speaker nomination, predicted this week that McCarthy is down roughly 20 votes, with pretty hard no's ahead of a full House vote on 3rd of January 2023. The California Republican needs to win the majority of the votes cast in January in a House in which Republicans hold a narrow majority over Democrats. Kevin McCarthy is at risk of falling short of the 218 votes necessary to secure the post if all members are present. I was told by a number of people who came to me afterwards, who aren't members of the Freedom Caucus, that I voted for you, or I voted against Kevin, Biggs, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, said on a Conservative Review podcast. So far, at least four other House Freedom Caucus members have joined Biggs in opposing Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House. They are Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida, Ralph Norman of South Carolina, Bob Good of Virginia, and Ralph Norman of South Carolina have been the most vocal about being resolute in voting against Kevin McCarthy, while Matt Rosendale of Montana has suggested that he would be open to backing the California Republican if he makes significant concessions. Biggs published an opinion editorial 2 weeks ago making it clear he was a hard no when it came to voting for McCarthy. "I do not believe he will ever get to 218 votes, and I refuse to assist him in his effort to get those votes," Biggs wrote. "In the end, I must concur with my constituents. It is time to make a change at the top of the House of Representatives. I cannot vote for a gentleman from California, Mr. McCarthy." Matt Gaetz of Florida was the first one to come out against McCarthy hard before the House GOP conference chose him as its leader and nominee for Speaker of the House. "I'm not voting for Kevin McCarthy," Matt Gaetz said. "I'm not voting for him tomorrow. I'm not voting for him on the floor of the House. No kind of concession could change his mind about supporting McCarthy." Bob Good is also set on his vote. Asked about what McCarthy would have to do to earn his vote during an interview with Steve Bannon, Good responded, "No, sir, because we can do better." He added that several Republicans have come out publicly to oppose the California Republican, and he believes many more will join them on 3rd of January 2023 to reflect the will of the voters who sent us to Congress to make the change that's desperately needed to save the Republic. "We're not going to get that with the current leadership. We have to have a new Speaker of the House." Ralph Norman of South Carolina is also standing firm in his decision to vote no. He has cited McCarthy's refusal to adopt the Republican Study Committee's plan for the budget as one of his main points of contention.
Ukraine and Russia.
Part 3.
NATO has expanded into 13 countries, up to the borders of Russia. 13 countries.
The focus has to be on not allowing this crisis to turn into hot war between Ukraine and Russia.
Ukraine. It's an ancient and proud land with a rich history filled with much beauty, heroism, and sacrifice. Ukraine is a borderland, a place where east meets west. This is the flag of Ukraine. The blue represents the sky, the gold its seemingly endless fields of wheat. Ukraine is a prize many have sought, and much blood has spilled in the quest to possess it. Ukraine has been the pathway for Western powers as they attempted to conquer the East. The people's growing discontent made Ukraine more vulnerable to outside forces, and a new kind of warfare was launched, one not known before, the color revolutions.
An NGO is a non-governmental organization. Now, many NGOs are quite legitimate. They represent good causes. Maybe they help people in a country feed or deal with water problems or deal with various kinds of social problems. But there are some NGOs that have become funded by government entities and serve more the purpose of that government rather than trying to serve the people that they are ostensibly working for. One thing we saw in the 1980s, at that point, the Central Intelligence Agency had been largely discredited because of scandals that had been exposed in the 1970s.
November 30th of 2013 became the first turning point of Euromaidan and one of its most reported and mysterious events. Incidentally, one such organization, Hromadske TV, received generous donations from the Dutch and U.S. embassies, as well as from the Renaissance Foundation, an NGO founded by George Soros.
I set up a foundation.